I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. The apostle says here in verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed." Here was a man who was in prison. He was in prison, not very far away from being martyred or murdered for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for his preaching of the gospel. And yet he sits here in this Roman prison just a short time before he dies, and he writes Timothy, a son of his in the faith, to encourage him, to instruct him, and to tell him not to be ashamed. It's like when David was in trouble, surrounded by enemies. They asked him, says, "Where now, David, is thy God?" And that's what no doubt they were saying to Paul here. Where's your God at, Paul? Where's your Savior at? If Christ has such power and loves you so much and died for you, and you talk so much about Him, where's He at now? Here you are, you're sitting in prison, and we've got the power to take your life, got the power to let you go. He said, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. My God's in the heavens. And He does whatever He pleases. And it's what pleases Him. Amen. It's what pleases Him." Here's this man. What made him able to not be discouraged? Not be discouraged. To not be defeated. Well, I'll tell you why. Because he had no doubt as to what the outcome was going to be. He knew exactly how the outcome was going to be. Look over here in chapter 4 in verse 6. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Look in verse 6. He said, "I'm now ready to be offered." That's what he considered himself, an offer. "And the time of my departure is at hand." Time to go cut all the moorings. So let me go. "I fought a good fight, and I'm done. I finished. I'm at the end. And I kept the faith." Now, when he talks about keeping the faith, I kept the gospel. I didn't keep my subjective faith. He said, "I kept declaring the truth as it was in Christ. I kept..." You know, we say, "What's your faith?" Well, that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the gospel, the sovereignty of God, the glory of Christ, the eternal purpose of God in Christ, the blood of Christ that cleanses from all. So I kept that faith. I kept that gospel. I never wavered from it. I never wearied in it. I kept that faith. "And henceforth, this is the end for me. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." A crown of righteousness. So here's this man. He knows the outcome of his situation. And he was ridiculed and mocked and hated and persecuted. And yet he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed. He told Timothy down there in verse 8, he said back over here in chapter 1, he said, "Don't you be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't you be ashamed of it. If Christ suffered, shall not we suffer? If Christ was hated, shall we not be hated? If Christ was rejected, shall we not be rejected? If Christ bore a cross, shall we deny our cross? Shall we not carry our cross? Be not there ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." What Christ Himself said about Himself and about God. "And surely don't be ashamed of me, His prisoner." Yeah. "I'm His prisoner. But you be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." And there was another man who wasn't ashamed. He said down in verse 16, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me." He came and was a blessing to me because he wasn't ashamed of my chain. And he says, well, what in the world then am I suffering for? What's the reason that I'm suffering? What's the reason that I'm in prison? What's the reason that I'm here? It was through no fault of his own. It was because the gospel was hated. Christ was hated. He says in verse 11, I'm appointed a preacher. And I'm appointed an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And this is the reason I suffer these things. Not because I'm an evildoer. Not because I'm a thief. Not because I'm a liar. Not because I've committed murder. Not because I've committed adultery. Not because I've done anything other than just preach the gospel.
Right.
Preach the gospel. And oh my, look what he says now. He said, I suffer these things, but nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. Look what else he says. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I know and am persuaded. You know, he used this word persuaded so often, and this phrase so often, and speaking of so many different things. Like, for instance, he says, you know, Abraham being fully persuaded that what God promised, he is able also to perform. And he says, you know, said, well, what about all the trials and troubles and tribulations we're going to go through in this world? Will we ever forsake Christ, or will Christ ever forsake us? Whatever happens, he said, I'm persuaded.
Right.
That neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And he was persuaded of the goodness and grace of God which is in the Roman saints. He told Timothy here, he said, I'm persuaded that you have the same faith, the same pure faith that your grandmother had and your mother had. I'm persuaded that you've got that same faith, Timothy. And then he talked about the Hebrew believers, and he said, I'm persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. And then he says here, I'm persuaded. I know, nevertheless, I'm suffering these things. I'm a prisoner. I'm suffering the afflictions of the gospel. He said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. What would make a man in such dire straits, looks like dire straits to us, what would make such a man say, I'm not ashamed? Not be embarrassed? In prison? One time, him and Silas was in jail, and they were beaten and held in stocks. Their arms and feet were held, and their head no doubt was. Mary and I was up in Williamsburg, Virginia last summer. And up there in Williamsburg, that old city and the old town of Williamsburg, they got these stocks like they used to put people in. We got in the stocks, you see. They just got them there for fun now. Got in them, had our picture took, you know, our head in there and the arms in there. That's where they used to put people on display when they would do something wrong. Well, Paul and Silas was on display. They're in the middle of the night. Oh my, you think they was crying? You think they was begging for deliverance? You think that they said, oh, what in the world are we going to do now? No, they began to sing hymns. They began to sing some kind of a psalm, some hymn that they knew, and began to praise God. What in the world enabled men to do such things as that? When we can't even hardly be faithful enough to attend three services in a week. The gospel is so hard on us that we find it hard to commit ourselves for two services in a row sometimes. And here's a man who is bound in prison, going to die. And look what he says. I'm not ashamed. And he stood before a king with chains on his hands. They just tried to kill him. And he said, I thank myself happy because I can talk for myself.
That's right.
What made him to say, I'm not ashamed? Not ashamed. I'm not discouraged. I'm not defeated. I'm not just throwing up my hands. I'm not biting my fingernails off. I'm not laying awake at night wondering how this situation's going to come out. How did this happen? Here's how it says, "For I know whom I have believed." Faith in Christ. Knowing Christ. Having an acquaintance with Christ. An experience with Christ. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ enabled him to say, "It don't make any difference. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of him, and he's not ashamed of me. I'm not ashamed of his gospel. I'm not ashamed of his person. I'm not ashamed of his cross. I'm not ashamed of anything that I suffer for his name's sake." And all, beloved, see, he says, "For I know whom I have believed." You see, it's not believing in him that saves a man, but believing him. Believing him. A personal faith in a personal Savior. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And here's what I'm saying is this. You know, we say we believe the doctrine of grace. But the belief in the doctrine of grace is not what saves us. Grace experienced is what saves us. See, depravity is, we believe that. That's a doctrine. But we've experienced our sinfulness. And so that's what happened to the Apostle Paul here. He experienced salvation. He experienced Christ. You see, it's one thing to talk about being saved. It's another thing to be saved. It's one thing to talk about there's a person who's able to deliver, and it's another thing to trust him who actually did come and deliver you from your sin. And that's what Paul said here, "I know whom I have believed." I know whom I have believed. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ by meeting him personally. By actually meeting him. Or I should put it this way. That he actually knew the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ came and laid hands on him, if I could say it that way. Apprehended him. Now look with me. You keep this and look with me over here in Acts chapter 9. Has the Lord ever apprehended you? Come and laid hands on you. This is what happened, you see. He came to know the Lord. Here was a man who hated Christ, persecuted his church. And look what he says here. Start at verse 1. This is what I'm saying. He actually, Christ, the Lord apprehended him on the Damascus road. And Saul, yet, and that's who Paul became. Saul is his Hebrew name. Paul is his Greek name. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the Lord, against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly... And that's exactly how Christ comes to you. Suddenly, there shined right about him a light from heaven. And where light comes, beloved, it's because there's darkness. Light comes where there's darkness. And light exposes what the darkness is like. And he fell to the earth. He fell to the earth. It didn't say he jumped down. Didn't say he bowed his knees and started praying and praying the sinner's prayer. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul," called him by name, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And you see how Lord's capitalized there? He knew that this was someone to be worshipped. Someone with power. Someone with authority. And he is looking at him. I personally believe the Lord Jesus Christ was there in person. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." and he trembling and astonished. And that's exactly what will happen to you when the Lord appears to you. You'll tremble and you'll be astonished that Christ would have anything to do with you, that Christ would consider you, that Christ would even think that you would ever even be in His mind, that you would have any mercy at all. And oh my, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Oh, you see, beloved, he met the Lord, or the Lord Jesus Christ met him. I believe personally, my own personal belief is that when Christ apprehended him on the Damascus Road, he was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ in the face. He saw Christ. Nobody else saw him but him. And that's what's going to happen to you. If you ever see him, you'll see him for yourself, not the person sitting next to you. They may not see him. They may not experience him. They may not be ashamed. They may not tremble. They may not fall down before him in their heart and in their soul. But if he ever appears to you, that's what's going to happen to you. You'll be astonished. Are you still astonished that the Lord Jesus Christ apprehended you? Oh, I am. And oh my, not only on the Damascus Road, but even in Corinth, when the apostle was there being persecuted greatly, he was fixing to leave. And the scripture says that the Lord Jesus appeared to him at night and said, Saul, or Paul, don't you depart from this place. You stay right here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about, there ain't nobody going to hurt you because I've got much people in this city. You stay right here. He's fixing to leave. He said, I'm going to shake the dust of this place off my feet. And our Lord said, no, you're not. You're going to stay right here. I've got some people here and they've got to hear the gospel. They've got to come to know me. And all beloved, even when he was in prison, the Lord Jesus came to him. And so he knew the Lord Jesus Christ personally. He had an experience with Christ. Christ made himself known to him. And everybody's got to have that experience. It's one thing to talk about grace. It's another thing to experience grace. It's one thing to talk about the Lord Jesus. It's another thing to say, I know Him. I know Him. And you know how you can know? Somebody start describing somebody to you and you'll say, well, that's not the person I know. They talk about this woman who shot her husband who was the preacher. They said, that was a perfect family. I don't understand how this went. I don't have a better problem understanding how it happened. People put on all these fronts and put on this shell. And they play in religion. They're playing at it. She just got tired of playing religion. She got tired of being the preacher's wife. She got tired of going to church and putting on a sham and pretending. And when they're behind closed doors, God only knows what happened. She just got tired of it, shot him, and walked off and left him with a kid. That's depravity. That's sin. That's in everybody's heart to do those things. If God lets us go. And that's why Paul said here on the Damascus Road, he was just as bad as that woman who shot her husband, except he was one step further away because he hated Christ himself. He persecuted Christ himself. And that's why he stood astonished. And when you think about your own heart and own soul, of your attitude and your nature toward Christ and towards religion and towards God's people down through your life, and you have to stand in utter astonishment that God ain't opened hell and took you down with it. Christ could have just as easily let Saul alone. How many? He let the Pharisees alone.
That's right.
He said, I'm going to let that feller go. Oh my. So he experienced, he actually met Christ. Have you ever actually met the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you actually experienced Christ? Has Christ ever come and you fell in your heart and soul before Him? Now I'm not talking about seeing lights and flashing lights and all. I'm talking about, you know, if I ask you right now, do you know Him? Do you believe Him? Do you know Him? Do you believe Him? Can you say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ? I know Him as the sovereign. I know the power of His blood that cleansed my soul from its sin. I know what it is to be rid of my guilt and condemnation. I know what it is to have confidence to call on Him and to look to Him and trust Him when hell is popping around me. When the doctor says there ain't much chance, I know what it is to trust Him. I know what it is to trust Him and believe Him and call on Him and have confidence that whatever happens in this world with me or my children or my grandchildren, Christ is going to take care of it.
Amen.
And He's going to do right by it. Do you know Him? Can your heart and soul right now, can you say my heart reaches out for Him? Can you say my soul embraces Him? And not only that, but He comes and embraces my soul. That's what Paul is taught. That's why he says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. That's why we're not ashamed of the gospel. Sure, people can make fun of us. Sure, people can call us a cult. Sure, people can say we're preaching babies in hell. Let them say whatever they want to say. I'm not ashamed. What have we got to be ashamed of? Of Christ? His power? His glory? His ability? His willingness? His love? His compassion? Surely we wouldn't be ashamed of His cross. That blessed bloody cross, there where He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, ashamed of Him, ashamed of this gospel, ashamed of God's electing love and grace that chose us in Christ before the world ever began, ashamed of that. Ashamed, beloved, that there we were, steeped in sin, watering like a hog in mud, worms. And Christ says, I'm a worm and no man, so identified with us.
Amen.
To say I'm ashamed? To be ashamed? No, we couldn't. Oh, not only did He know Him, Christ apprehended Him, laid hands on Him. He knew Him from the Word. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word. You know, when He went into Damascus, when He went on into Damascus, He went in there as a believer, stayed blind, without any food or water for 3 days and three nights. Scales pulled off His eyes, and straightway, the Scripture, straightway He began to preach Christ.
Amen.
In the synagogues. Now how did He go from persecuting Him and 3 days later preaching? Where did He find, you know, how did He know anything about Him from the Word? How did you preach Him if you don't know the Word? Well, He knew the Word. He saw Christ in the Old Testament. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He probably took Isaiah 61. He probably took Isaiah 53 and began to preach the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb. He took Him as Abraham's seed. He said, there's one seed. Not seed as of many, but seed as Christ. And He began straightway to preach Christ. And all beloved, and He preached that He is the Son of God. And that's why He told Timothy here. Look back over here in chapter 3, I believe it is, verse 15 of chapter 3 here in 2 Timothy. Look what He told him about the Scriptures. He knew Christ from the Word. You know why preachers are not preaching Christ, why they're preaching works, and why they're preaching how to have a happy marriage and how to raise your children, and why they have single retreats and married retreats and granny's retreats and every other kind of retreat. They're always retreating somewhere. But you know why they do that? They don't know Christ from the Scriptures.
Right.
You can't tell what you don't know.
All right.
Huh? Look what it says here. It said in verse 15. And that from a child, 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Who taught him these Scriptures? which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. His grandmother Lois, she had faith. She knew the Scriptures. His mother Eunice, she had faith. She knew the Scriptures. And they taught to him. And they took the Old Testament. They said, they were able to make you wise through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And oh my. And he knew the Lord Jesus Christ by what he had heard about him. And thought about him. And thought on him. Christ became Paul's own. That's why he says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Christ became Paul's own as he considered him and thought of him and beheld him and contemplated his glorious person. One day he says he's an imposter. The next day he says, Lord, calls him Lord. Calls him, sees his glorious person, eternal God. Had a glory with God before the world ever was. Saw his glorious person as he laid aside. What a glory he had in his person, that he had laid aside all of that and come here and become a man. And as a man, be a sinless man. A perfect man. A God-honoring man. A God-obeying man. A suffering man. And he saw him in all of his glory. Saw him in his love. That he loved me. That's why I said, God who had saved us. And he called us with the holy calling. Not according to our works. And I had works. He said, oh, I had lots of works. But he said, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose.
Amen.
God saved me on purpose. God does what he does on purpose. And gave me grace. Oh, what love as he began to come. Gave me grace in this blessed Savior before this world ever started. Oh, and then he began to praise him for his ability. Oh, what ability. It's like those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here they was, you know, they was going to go to prison. Going to be thrown in the fire furnace for worshiping God. Calling on God. And that, they told that king, says, now, it's like they said, you know, thought that they'd be ashamed. And they said, now, where's your God at? Is he going to deliver you? And they said, well, throw us in the fire furnace, and whether he'll deliver us or not, we don't know. But we do know this, that he is able. Whether he does or not, that's his business.
Amen.
But we do know this, that he's able to do it. And that's what Paul said here. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Huh? Oh, he knew the Lord Jesus by personal communion with him. By walking with him, talking with him. Conversing with him. How many times do you reckon when he walked along the roads? And there would be times he'd send others before him and he said, oh, you wait here and I'm going to go ahead of you. I want to be by myself a little while. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to talk to his master. Wanted to converse with his master. Wanted to be in the closet. And when he talks about the closet, he's not talking about getting someplace and closing the door. He's talking about getting alone with him.
Amen.
Getting alone with him. And oh, he knew the Lord Jesus by personal communion with him. He had opened his heart to the Lord. He had opened his heart to his Lord and his Master. And not only that, but his Master would open his heart to him also. And I'll tell you something, beloved. Every saint can commune with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can walk with him and talk with him and converse with him. And sat down. David said, the scripture says, David went in and sat down before the Lord. Oh, how it would change our worships here. How it would change us if we realize when we come in, I'm going to go in and sit down before the Lord. And the Lord's here to see us, to hear us, to make himself known, to speak to us as we speak to him. Oh my. That's why he said, I count everything but dung, but loss, that I may gain Christ. Win Christ. And everything that was gained to me, that made me to be somebody in somebody's eyes, it detracted from Christ. And I don't want nothing to detract from Him. And oh, he knew the Lord Jesus Christ by experience. You see, he had tried His love. He had tried the Lord Jesus' faithfulness. And he proved Him. God said, try me and prove me. Well, he did. Paul proved Him. How many times did he prove Him? Oh, you find him so many times. That shipwreck, you know. He'd been in over 14 days. They hadn't seen the sun, the moon, or the stars. Just wind and rain. And Paul stood one night after 14 days of that. And he stood up and said, men, be of good cheer. He said, the Lord's whose I am told me that we're going to lose a ship, but we ain't going to lose a soul. Huh? So be of good cheer. And look over here at verse chapter 4 and verse 16. Look how. See, he knew the Lord Jesus by everyday experience. How the Lord, he had tried the Lord's love. And I mean tried, it means is that, you know, and faithfulness. And he proved them to be just exactly what our Lord said they would be. He says here in verse 16, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. In other words, he's standing before the authorities. He's standing before the magistrates. He's standing before people with so-called political power. And he said, all men forsook me when I stood to answer for myself and for the charges against me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. They're like, he's like his master. Father, don't lay this sin against them. Notwithstanding, watch this now, the Lord stood with me. Nobody else did, but the Lord did. Not only did he not stand with me, but he stood with me and strengthened me. And here's why he did it, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Oh, there's where the lamb and the lion laid down together. And the Lord shall deliver me. Now watch this. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, he knew the Lord. He knew him by experience. That's why he said, thanks be unto God who always, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus our Lord. Believers are always going to win. Always going to come out on top. The world says we're last. We don't amount to nothing. God says we're first. Ain't that right? That's right. And he knew the Lord because he had entered into the fellowship of his sufferings. Entered into the fellowship of his death. Here he was suffering in prison. Nero, insane, absolutely mad, insane. Nero was the emperor at this time. And there he is, he's suffering. He says he's filling up the sufferings of the body of Christ. Going to partake of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he said, I'm not ashamed. Have you ever been forsaken? Ever been hated? Ever been rejected? Ever given up somebody that you love? Have you ever been misjudged? You know, you do one thing and have one motive, and somebody else comes along, say, you know, misjudges your motive and accuses you of the reason you've done it. Misjudged you. Done good and been evil spoken of for doing it. Well, if you have, you've been made a partaker of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way they've done our master. And is the servant above his Lord? And that's why Paul says, a servant above his Lord. If they've done this to me, a green tree, imagine what they'll do to the dry tree, the dead tree. Uh-huh. And oh, look what he did. Look what he did. I'll take just another few minutes. Look what he did, because he knew. He said, I know whom I have believed. That's why he said, I'm not ashamed. That's why he said, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I've trusted Him. I've trusted Him. And because I've trusted Him, I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. He's able to keep that what I've committed unto Him. And what did He commit unto Himself? He committed His soul. He committed His life. Whatever made Paul, Paul, that's what he gave over into the hands of Christ. See, man is not an animal. Not an animal like a cow or a dog or a horse. And you know, you can train a dog to do certain things. You can, anything can be trained. And we're not trained. No, no. We are living souls, eternal souls, born with a soul. Born with a soul that's going to exist eternally somewhere. A soul, that's what we are. We're bodies with a living soul inside of it. The body's going back to the dust. The body's going to death. But the soul, what is us? What animates us? That makes us us. That makes us able to commune with God, to know God. And have that spiritual part of us, that part that's going to exist eternally. Paul says, that's what I've committed to get to Christ. I'm an eternal being and I've given my soul to Christ. Why? He felt the value of his soul. He knew the danger. And he knew, and he was conscious of his weaknesses and his own inability. And so he said, I'm going to commit it to the Lord. I don't have no strength, but He does. I can't do nothing, but He can do all things. And I'm going to leave this world real soon. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to say, well, here, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me what you will. He put his eternal soul in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, so you keep it. You keep it. You keep it. Anybody ever come to you and say, now here, this is valuable to me. This is valuable to me. I want you to keep this for me. Well, Paul says, my soul is valuable. And Lord, here, I'm going to give it to you. I want you to keep it for me. You keep it for me. Lord, I don't have any strength, so here, I'm going to give you my weakness. I'm going to give you myself. He knew the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the Lord Jesus had the ability to heal his soul, to keep his soul, to strengthen his soul. He knew him as his shepherd. And as a shepherd keeps his sheep, to supply he's the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knew that. He knew Christ as his shepherd. And he knew him, you know, as these big ships that come into these harbors and they have what they call a harbor pilot and all of them. New York City, California, any big huge harbor and anywhere in the world, they've got a pilot. And he knows how to take those ships in and out of those harbors. And they take him out and he takes over that ship to bring it in. The captain on that ship, he's not the one who brings it in. They've got a harbor pilot. He knows. And they take him out. That's why John Newton, he run the harbor at Liverpool before he got converted. And he'd send the pilots out to bring those ships in. They knew which way to bring them in. And that's why we sing that song, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. He's our pilot. We don't know how to get into the harbor. We don't know the way into the harbor. Somebody's got to come and pilot us. It's dangerous. We come in there, oh my, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown ways before me roam, hiding rocks and treacherous soul. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pardon me. Huh? Oh my, if we get in the harbor, he's going to have to take us in, ain't he? Oh my, and then last of all, he knew him as his advocate. You know, an advocate is a lawyer. And he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who would plead his cause before the Father. Little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, you think the apostles were above sin? Think that they didn't commit sin? Think that they didn't have pride? Think they didn't have envy? You know, they may not have been out here sinning with their hand, but they knew what sin was in the heart and in their imagination. That's why Paul said, I was given to pride. He said, but lest I be exalted above measure. He said, the Lord sent me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. He's just going to beat me, going to keep me down. Bruce Crabtree talked about that the other day. He said, God will not let his preachers get up. He said, about time we get up, down we go again. He said, God means to make us trust him and to walk by faith. And oh, but if we do sin, we have an advocate. We got a lawyer.
Amen.
We got one to plead our case, to plead our cause before the Father. Who is this that pleads our case and pleads our cause? Jesus Christ. Jesus, the sinless man. Christ, the appointed, anointed of God, the Messiah.
Amen.
And not only that, but he's the righteous. Oh my, he takes up our cause. Oh my, have you ever committed, let me ask you again. Have you ever committed yourself to Christ? Do you know Christ? I'm not talking about do you know some things about him. You won't hardly find anybody who won't say, oh yeah, I've heard all my life that Jesus Christ is Savior. Heard all my life Jesus Christ is Son of God. But is he your Savior? Is he yours? Do you know him? Not about him. Do you know him? Right now, in your heart of hearts, can you say, yes, Lord, I know you. I know you. And I thank you that I do. And the reason I know you is because you first knew me. You came to me. I had my Damascus road. It might not have been like what Saul of Tarsus went through. But I have had my experience with you, Lord. You came and saved me. You saved me. And I thank you for it. Our blessed Savior, thank you for meeting with us here today. Thank you for your precious word. Bless it to heart. Bless it to our understanding. Bless it to the salvation of sinners. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.